Now, I'm delighted to welcome back to the programme after a much long, too long break, our political analyst, John Morgan. John, a very happy Monday and welcome back to Northside Today.
Hello to you, Tony. How are you? I nearly forgot your name. It was that long.
It has been quite some time, John, and there has been some changes. I'm not too sure if we have spoken, actually, since the reversal of roles where Micheál Martin took up as Taoiseach and Leo Varadkar stepped into the tarnished as brief. But we might start, John, with your analysis as to how Micheál Martin has performed since taking over as Taoiseach of the new government.
Donny, I think without a doubt it's been an awful phrase, I suppose, baptism of fire, but I think that the new government was barely off the ground when it was kind of dogged down with a series of difficulties. I mean, everything from the Barry Cowan incident, and then, of course, you had Golfgate in Galway and the resignation then of Dara Cleary. Two ministers of agriculture, one after another, both leaving office, and I'm sure they were very much hoping that Charlie McConnellogue would be the safe pair of hands they were looking for, and he has been. But, you know, the Seamus Wolfe incident, of course, is still rumbling on and threatens to be a constitutional minefield in some ways. But he's also in a government, of course, that has to deal with Brexit, which is, less than 50 days away, has to deal with a COVID pandemic. Government also, of course, rocked somewhat, certainly very intense few days, and pressure on Roderick O'Gorman, only around the mother and baby homes report and information for survivors and families there, which caused a lot of hurt. And then, of course, you had the issue around the Leo Varadkar and the confidential report going to the medical organisation. It's been a very, very, very difficult time for the government. Micheál Martin, I guess, buffeted by all those winds, only his style as a politician is one of calmness, I suppose. But he's needed every little bit of it. It's been a very, very checkered time for the government. In all those months since June, the end of June, when the government was formed.
John, in relation to that, Leo Varadkar and the leak of the confidential documents, yes, he survived the vote of confidence, but that was always going to happen once he had Micheál Martin's backing. He was always going to survive that vote of confidence. But how badly damaged is he, going forward? And John, I hate using that phrase because it was one of the things that was coined by political people. But going forward and into the future, how damaged is Leo Varadkar?
I think there were a couple of things coming up to it, Tony. There had been rumoured that Leo Varadkar may have been behind some other pieces of information that had come into the public realm, in a way that maybe they shouldn't have, and certainly if you remember around the budget, he was seen to nearly to kind of break out of the traps even before the official announcement from the Department of Finance. So there was a kind of a feeling around there anyway. And then of course with this, it was very, very challenging. I suppose if you think about it, the Villager magazine article, maybe the one thing that took a little bit of the heat out of it for Leo Varadkar was the fact that the people's eyes were turned towards the US election at the time, and there were a couple of days maybe that were a little bit of a godsend to him. But certainly, I suppose, his personal brand hasn't done very well out of it at all. Only there's probably, I guess, two different kind of lines that people have taken out of this, depending who you talk to. Some people very much, the thing that annoyed them was that a government minister would disclose, a confidential document, and that was the red line for a lot of people. The expectations of a government minister, is crossing the line in a very significant way to do that. Others didn't see it that way. What they saw out of it was that that sense of a kind of a cozy cartel among friends, in inverted commas, that if you're well connected, you know, you will get access to information that you or I or the listeners wouldn't, if you know what I mean. But that was the thing that annoyed others. It was interesting to see the different views that people had. But certainly I was very struck, Donny, by, you know, by when we saw one of the sessions of the Dáil where Paddy Tobin, you know, put that question to Leo Varadkar, whether he had ever disclosed confidential cabinet information, you know. And it was a really, you know, it was a really a moment where everybody kind of sat bows upright. It was certainly very dramatic television. But, you know, to find yourself astonished in a situation where he or she would ever be asked that question was pretty stunning. So so it can't have helped them, Donny. But, you know, I suppose how it will play out will very much dependent on if anything further comes out or if there are any further controversies down the road. As you say, at the end of the day, the numbers, we're always going to get them over the line, but we can't have done his brand any good whatsoever.
Yeah, because it has been muted, and I'm sure you've heard it as well as I have, John, that there is another round of pay negotiations, public service pay negotiations, coming up very shortly. And I think that a lot of the unions are looking long and hard at having to sit across from him at a negotiating table.
I think that the problem there, Donny, is that, you know, it's just for him, it's something that will be kind of thrown at him in situations like that, which is just, they're challenging enough situations anyway without that being hanging over your head. So when you talk about being damaged or his brand, which is another, I suppose, terrible word we use more recently, it's not helpful at all. It's not helpful either to the government generally, Donny, you know. So yeah, the government has certainly it's certainly taken a series of blows, as I suppose have the opposition too, have had their own. The main opposition party, Sinn Féin, have had their own challenges too in and around the Northern Ireland COVID scheme for SMEs and monies that were received and possibly not returned as quickly as they should, and the four members resigning. So, you know, it's both sides of the House have seen it in recent months, Tony, I guess.
John, on a sort of a, I suppose we could nearly call it a local kind of an issue, we're both from rural Ireland, and you being from Cavan and I being from Cork, how do you think that this coalition is going down with the grassroots members of both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, you know, at local common level down the country, you know, which would have been seen as staunch either Fianna Fáilers or Fine Gaelers over the years? And I mean, I'm sure you, along with I, would know people who have been that very staunch Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael family for generations or back to the foundation of the state. How do you think this current coalition is going down or sitting with them?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, Tony? I mean, again, it very much depends on the age profile of who you're talking to, but certainly older, and, you know, am I talking 40 plus, you know, it isn't going down particularly well, I wouldn't think, on either side. Probably Fine Gael people are probably a little bit more relaxed, but certainly there would not be, I think there are a lot of Fianna Fáil people of that vintage and up who wouldn't be happy at all. You saw it anyway, Donny, with the reports of some of the parliamentary party meetings where around this issue about the Villager magazine article and Leo Varadkar and the confidential document, you know, there seemed to be skin and hair flying at some of those Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meetings, and certainly some of the interviews that Mark McSharry had given, you know, certainly didn't disguise the kind of strong feeling. So I suppose they are mirroring what they would be hearing down in the constituencies, that, you know, Fianna Fáil people probably feel as if their identity is being very, very badly squeezed. You know, and you are, if you look at the polls, you know, it's very much it's a kind of a double header between Sinn Féin and Sinn Féin, and that feeling, I suppose, from Fianna Fáil voters and members that are drifting into irrelevance is something I'm sure is frightening them a lot. So yes, you know, that's probably what's being felt. I suppose for younger people, it's probably less an issue. And at the end of the day, I guess we're all, you know, we're all so taken up with what's happening and how we're living through the COVID situation in 2020. That's probably taken most people's attention. But, you know, bread and butter issues as well, I guess, in and around, you know, the health service and housing, et cetera, et cetera. Probably makes that cohort of the electorate, you know, less concerned about party feelings in and around a coalition. But certainly, I'd say Fianna Fáil people probably feel it very acutely, don't they? Yeah.
Another thing, John, and you know, we spoke about that it's been a maelstrom from the very start since Micheál Martin basically got into that Taoiseach's car. From practically the very first day that he came back from the Áras and addressed the Dáil down at the convention centre, there's been one catastrophe after another. But the question that I'd be posing to you, John, is in reality, and bearing in mind, and this is a very important point, that they do have the numbers, but how many more catastrophes can the government withstand? And I suppose really the question I'm asking you, John, and it's an impossible one to answer, do you see it going full term?
That is an interesting question. Of course, Tony, you know, in a way, I suppose, COVID, the pandemic, I suppose, has kind of created maybe a sense of unity because it's such an overarching issue and the predominant issue that maybe creates or pulls the parties together a little bit more than maybe they would have been if they didn't have to face that. I guess they all have to hang together now, so that'll probably see them through. But when we get to a point where life starts going back to normal and it's less about that and more then about day-to-day issues, and we will see, I guess, the impact, and we talked about, the issues COVID causes for the health service generally, and, you know, COVID-related issues, things that are going to be caused by a restriction in access to services, when all that starts to flow through, and if other controversies come, you know, it is going to rattle the government, and then you're looking at Greens and whether any other issues are going to cause them to look again at their involvement in government. You know, we've heard about quite a number of members, if the reports are to be believed, are resigning. And so, you know, is that the thin green line there? And what else would it take to shake their place in government? So, look, you know, it's difficult to know, Donny. I think the government remains okay because of the numbers, and maybe that was the reason why the two bigger parties wanted a third party in government, so that it's, you know, there is a little bit of more safety in numbers there. But certainly beyond the acute COVID situation, when we get into a time early next year, we hope, when we start seeing vaccines coming down the road and there's a bit of light at the end of the COVID tunnel, that's, I guess, when the government potentially becomes more vulnerable.
Yeah, because I think in the greater scheme of things, John, the budget which we have witnessed at the beginning of October, it was not as severe as a lot of people had predicted. Now, okay, there was a lot of sort of moving the chess pieces around on the board so that basically nobody was any better or worse off afterwards. And I know there has been a lot of complaints from the likes of Social Justice Ireland that there was a lot more wriggle room there to look after people on the lower end of the spectrum that wasn't done and stuff like that. And I suppose I can fully understand where they're coming from. But I could also, I suppose, if I was to be sitting here batting for the government, say, well, they were trying to hold on to a few, Bob, because the COVID crisis, we don't know what way that's going to go and how much that's going to cost. But, you know, that was a kind of a... you'd nearly wonder, was there a need of a budget at all, John? You know, and it could have been a lot more severe. I mean, it was being predicted as being a pretty harsh budget, which in the event and at the final analysis, it probably wasn't.
No, I mean, there was a need for a stimulus package, Tony. I mean, obviously, because of the severe impact on the economy, on businesses, on jobs. But as somebody said, look, there has to be a reckoning for that down the road. So when I say about the challenges to the government when we come out of the kind of acute COVID phase, I mean, this is when these issues then start to build up. We will be living with Brexit at that stage. You know, there will be challenges there as well. So, you know, and people do expect to see improvements in the health service, improvements in housing, tackling direct provision, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not now, it's then that those issues start building up and causing you problems. So those two issues coming together, the budget and what the future of the government looks like, are kind of come together at those points, you know.
Yeah, and of course, that is a point, I think, which the leader of Sinn Féin and also Piers Doherty and also Eoin Óibrin have made, and I think Alan Kelly as well, that there was substantial problems facing the government in this country prior to the onset of COVID, and all COVID has done is made those problems even worse. So, you know, if COVID was a switch that you could turn off tomorrow, which we all know it isn't, every one of the problems that was there beforehand are still there, only now they're probably bigger.
No, I think that's very true, Donny. And again, you know, for those certainly shadow ministers who are in those key portfolios, probably the government is somewhat relieved that they're not getting the media profile that they would normally have in a business as usual type situation. But as you rightly say, Donny, when we step outside COVID and everybody is hoping that we're starting or will soon start to see light at the end of the tunnel, all of those issues that are not paused but not as high profile because of COVID as they would be, they'll all come back in spades, Donny, and that's exactly the point. You're 100% right.
John, it has, as always, been informative and a pleasure. I always say when I'm wrapping up with you that we left it too long and don't leave it so long again. But I will ask you this time, and I do appreciate that you are very busy. You do have another little meaningless job, meaningless task that you carry on outside of your work as a political analyst for us here at NEAR. So I know that's been taking up a lot of your time. But John, as always, an absolute pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Enjoy the rest of the political machinations. We didn't even get a chance to talk about Trump, but I think that hasn't spun out yet either. John Morgan, political analyst with NEAR FM. John, thanks very much indeed for joining me on today's programme.
Thanks, Tony. All the best to you and to the listeners.